During the 1992 Los Angeles riots, following the verdict on the beating of Rodney King, a truck driver named Reginald Denny was dragged from his truck and savagely beaten and left for dead. He barely survived. His skull was fractured in 91 different places, and it took years of surgical reconstruction and physical rehabilitation to bring him back to anything close to his former self. Reginald Denny's assailants were eventually apprehended and tried. But Denny sought out the families of those attackers in order to express his forgiveness. And he even, famously, shook hands with one of those men, offering forgiveness. Now, after this remarkable gesture of shaking hands with a man who had participated in beating him so badly he nearly died, one of the reporters commenting on the scene said, "It is said that Mr. Denny is suffering from brain damage." Apparently, our society has so completely accepted vengeance and grudge-keeping as the norm that only brain damage could possibly be an explanation for someone who was so badly hurt and yet able to forgive. The natural thing to do in such a situation, and in far more mundane situations too, is of course to keep score so that we can get even. We have so been conditioned by our society to think of forgiveness as weakness, as acquiescence, as losing. And so we are taught above nearly everything else that we are supposed to win. And yet, right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that we say more often than any other, the prayer that Jesus teaches us in order to teach us how to pray, we pray for the countercultural and radical ability to give and receive forgiveness. "Forgive us our sins," we say to our Heavenly Father, "as we forgive those who sin against us." During this season of Lent, we've been looking more closely at this prayer. And so today I want to explore this little phrase in the middle of the prayer, right in the heart, that just may be the craziest and most radical of all of the crazy and radical things in it. It begins with an astonishing admission that we actually need forgiveness. When we say to God, "Forgive us our sins," we are not making a polite request so much as we are making a desperate plea. Unlike a lot of prayers that we say here in church that seem to hide our requests behind flowery antique language, this is straightforward. Now, some elected leaders claim that they don't feel any personal need for forgiveness. But as Christians, we know the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I think one of the ways that we perpetuate this act of self-deception is by playing a little game of comparison. It's a game we play all the time. We're constantly comparing ourselves against other people, both comparing ourselves against their goodness and also comparing ourselves against their flaws. We're constantly sizing ourselves up against other people. And because we're constantly playing this game of comparison, we can tell ourselves that while we may not be, you know, Mother Teresa or Desmond Tutu or something, well, you know, we haven't killed anybody or tripped any little old ladies, or robbed any banks recently. The real sinners, you know, the real ones, are the ones in courtrooms right now, or hourly motels, or smoky, seedy back rooms. I'm just living my life. I'm just doing what I do, doing the very best I can with what I've got. I'm no sinner. But there comes a time when we stop playing the comparison game, when we stop playing this game of self-deception, and we are simply honest with ourselves. There's a story about an old monk living in the desert in the early centuries of Christianity who was approached by a much younger monk who asked him, "Haven't you earned your passage to heaven by now? Your asceticism is so great. Your penance is so ardent. Your wisdom is so apparent and obvious." To which the older monk replied, "If I had 3 lifetimes, I still couldn't shed enough tears for my sins." What the wise old monk knew better than the younger monk, and I think better than most of us, is that our admission of sinfulness and our need for forgiveness isn't about how we stack up against other people. And neither is it an exercise in self-loathing, as though this admission of sin is somehow going to totally erode all of our self-confidence, our self-assurance. No, to acknowledge that we are sinners in need of forgiveness is simply a statement of reality. We have, each one of us, done things that we ought not to have done, and we have not done things that we ought to have done. We have, each of us, not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And so, we are sinners in need of forgiveness, and thus we pray. But Jesus does not leave it there, does he? The little phrase has 2 clauses. "Forgive us our sins," we say, "as we forgive those who sin against us." Essentially, Jesus ties together our experience of the forgiveness of God with our act of forgiveness of others. That somehow, our embrace of God's forgiveness, our experience of its healing, is deeply tied to our response. We cannot claim to have truly and authentically received the gift of God's forgiveness if we then in turn refuse to offer forgiveness to someone else who has hurt or wronged us. We can't truly say that we have accepted the gift of God's forgiveness if we keep holding on to old hurts and grudges and wounds. It's like the great Anglican poet and priest George Herbert once said, "He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven. For everyone needs to be forgiven." In my experience, despite its centrality to the Christian faith, Christians are not much better at this whole forgiveness thing than non-Christians. Frankly, I don't see much difference. And our struggle to be people who forgive, who have the capacity and willingness and desire to forgive, is tied up, I've experienced, with 2 huge misconceptions about what forgiveness actually entails. The first misconception is that the person who hurt us somehow needs to deserve our forgiveness. And the second great misconception is that forgiveness equals forgetting. Maybe one or both of these misconceptions, these ideas, are why you continue to hold on to that grudge, and you know the one I'm talking about. Why you haven't spoken with your mother or your brother or that friend for years. Why you're still waiting on him to show that he deserves your forgiveness. He's never really come around to demonstrate that he understands how bad he hurt you. Or else you just can't ever seem to quite forget what it is that she did to you, and you try to just forget her entirely, but you can't do that either. The sin was too big, the scar was just too great, and so forgiveness has eluded you. Well, here's the thing. Both of those ideas are holding you back from forgiving because they are not true. Forgiveness does not depend on whether someone deserves it or not. You can forgive someone long before they ever even know they need it. Because forgiveness is about you, not about them. It's about your decision to no longer be defined by what it is that they did to you, to no longer allow it to keep strangling your soul. They may one day repent, demonstrate remorse, for what it is that they did. And then you can begin the holy work of reconciliation. But until then, forgiveness only takes you. And forgiveness is definitely not the same thing as forgetting. Sin is far too consequential to forget. And trying to forget is not at all what forgiveness is about. Think about it. After Jesus rises from the dead, does he appear to his disciples with some sort of spiritual amnesia about the cross? No. He appears to them still bearing the wounds in his hands and his side. It's the first thing he does is to show them those wounds. He does not forget. It's not at all about forgetting. He remembers. But he refuses to let sin have the last word in the story. And so he comes back to them bearing those wounds, but also bearing words of peace. Because forgiveness is about remembering, not forgetting. Remembering in a way that is truthful and honest, but in a way that throws a great monkey wrench into that eternal wheel of retribution and vengeance. I think we confuse forgiveness with being some sort of culmination, a conclusion, some sort of happy ending. We think it should always come at the end of a long process when everything is finally ready to be made right again. But the truth is that forgiveness is really just the beginning. It's how relationship starts, or at least how it starts over. Just look at all the times that Jesus forgives in the Gospels. When he forgives the sins of people, be they the sick or the lame, be they his disciples, even his executioners, that forgiveness is a catalyst for something new. Forgiveness is how the healing begins, how the relationship begins, how salvation itself begins. Forgiveness is not the ending. It is the start. It is time that we woke up to this huge and world-changing thing that we have been praying, many of us, for our whole lives. Because when we pray these words, we are saying that we believe in the way of God, not in the way of revenge. When we pray this, we say that we think that forgiveness is holy and powerful and not something that we only do because we have brain damage. When we pray this, we are admitting that we will never fully comprehend the grace of God's forgiveness until we fully share that grace with others. You came here to church today, and I have a strong feeling that you have someone in your life who you need to forgive, or from whom you need forgiveness. And I have a hunch about that because you're people, and that's just the way it works. We all have those people. And if you're sitting here shaking your head saying, nope, I don't have those people, guess what? You're lying to yourself. And what Jesus wants you to know is that your experience of God, your experience of God's mercy, God's goodness, God's forgiveness, is deeply connected with what you do with that broken relationship. The longer you keep holding on to that pain, the longer you will prevent yourself from knowing the fullness of God's mercy. So I'm asking you, as you leave here today, to remember the words that the Lord Jesus taught you. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then live it. And all of God's people said, Amen.